A show that knows its limitations.
Still learn to control that.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Back on Bishop and Laurinaitis, Mark Minch, James Laurinaitis in today. And we're going to head out again to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. We're going to talk to Brian Hedger. He's the Blue Jackets beat reporter for the Dispatch. And I just want to jump right into it. I think it's what most Jackets fans are still thinking about. It's the one thing that seems normal, even though we're this late in the year, but training camp still hasn't started. What's going on with Pierre-Luc Dubois? His contract talks, are they getting closer? Are they going to get it done before training camp opens up in less than 2 weeks? Is it looking like it's going to be during training camp or something later, which would be terrible? What's going on with that, Brian?
That'd be good to know, wouldn't it? Both sides aren't really talking a whole lot. I mean, I've seen some various reports here and there saying that, Yarmo expects to, have that thing wrapped up before training camp starts. So I would expect that the window is small, now that there's a season, now that you know that January 3rd is when it starts. I mean, I personally would expect something to get done within the next week or so, definitely before, camp opens up. But, as we've seen him before in previous RFA situations, restricted free agent situations with the Jackets, with Josh Anderson, he in 2017-18, that season, he missed that entire preseason, missed that training camp, and I think missed the first two games of the regular season before they reached a deal and got him, in there. And John Tortorella, that whole season, lamented the fact that he missed all that time and said that he would have had a better season. I mean, when you really look at it, before his injury, though, in March of that year, or end of February, March of that year, Josh Anderson had a great year. He had a great season, actually, and then Torts was basically saying it could have been better. So, we'll see where that one goes. That is the big question, because that's the thing that they've been trying to get done for a year or more than a year now. And, here we are. And as far as we know, there's no deal reached yet.
Yeah, Brian, I'm wondering, what's your sense of the players and the staff, front office? How do they feel about this 1 year central alignment here? It's like, it's a flashback for the Jackets. I know how the fans feel about it. Like, I love it. I love that it's like kind of going back to what you knew a little bit. But what are the players, or are they just kind of like, man, this is 2020, 2021. The heck with it. I don't care who we play. I just want to play. Let's go.
Yeah, that's the general sense I get is who cares who we play or anything like that. I'm sure for the guys that were around, there's not a whole lot of them actually that were around for Central Division play before, if you really think about it. I mean, I think Nick Foligno got here in 12-13. That was right around the time that they shifted to the Eastern Conference. And he's one of the more senior, if not the senior, guy on the team as far as that. So it may be a little bit new, or it will be new for a lot of them to play teams like the Red Wings so often, or because that's not even in their division, even though they're both at Eastern Conference, or the especially the Blackhawks, and Nashville Predators. The Jackets and Nashville Predators had quite a thing going there for a while when they were in the Central Division. So I think that it's going to be a new experience for a lot of them. You also have a little bit of weirdness with, having the two Florida teams in the Central Division, and including the Lightning, who you have all a big rivalry with, and the Panthers, who are now basically the Blue Jackets South after Bill Zito, went down there to become their GM and started adding, players. So this could be an interesting season. I mean, I think in some respects, by the end of it, you may be tired of playing the same team over and over and over again, and then going into a playoffs where you're going to have to, get out of that division by playing, at least one or two other teams of the top four that finish. So it's going to be interesting, and I think it is kind of cool to go back to their roots a little bit, especially in this 20th anniversary season.
What do you think the pecking order is going to be in the Central Division? It looks like it's going to be Lightning on the top. They're the defending Stanley Cup champions. That makes sense to me. And then that second spot seems wide open, and it looks like something maybe the Blue Jackets can take, but they're going to have competition. Where do you think they fall in this setup for this 1 year of a Central Division? And also, is this going to affect game start times? Are we going to see more 8, 8:30 starts?
That's a good question because I haven't really gotten that far yet. Because yeah, you're going to be, you probably will because you're going to start when they go to Chicago. That's Central Division, that's Central Time. So is Nashville. Mm-hmm. Those are both Nashville, or those are both Central Times, and so you're probably going to see more 8:30 starts there. You know, when they're on the road. Everyone else, I think, is in the east, though, the eastern time zone, so I wouldn't expect too much of a difference there. But as far as the pecking order goes, I think you got it nailed. I think if you're going to look at it on paper, you got to put Tampa Bay right there at the top since they're division defending cup champions. Not a lot has changed, although I did see the other day there was talk they may put Nikita Kucherov on LTIR potentially for an injury. That'd be a huge loss for them, obviously. But they still have a lot of talent there, so you think, and they have a great goalie in Vasilevsky, so you think that they're going to be near the top or at the top. But you're right; I think it's wide open after that. I know that there's not. I mean, there's a feeling that the Blackhawks are kind of rebuilding at this point, even with Taves and Kane and all those guys. I mean, the guys around them, they're all young. They're kind of rebuilding. Goalie situation is kind of a mystery there. Nashville, I think you have to put Nashville up there as a competitive team. I know they struggled a bit last year, but they have a lot of talent. You know, you just kind of go right down the line and look. I think the Blue Jackets are right there in the mix. I mean, the Red Wings, another team that I think they could be better than they were last year, but they're rebuilding as well. I think the Blue Jackets have a very competitive chance to, you know, make the playoffs for a fifth straight year, and you know, it's anybody's ballgame when you get into the playoffs.
Last one, we'll get you out of here on this, Brian. I'm wondering, anything on the protocols that were, announced or released that really stood out to you? Was it coaches having to wear masks, although being tested? Was it the asymptomatic, you know, had to get three negative corresponding 24 after every 24 hours? That's 3 days at least if it's a false one. Anything stand out to you? To me, I said, gosh, no restaurants allowed on the road. That'll be different for, I'm sure, the guys. But anything else really jump out to you with the protocols?
That was the one for me as well, is trying to limit these guys on the road to just the hotel, just the rink, just the practice rink, and that's, you know, buses, planes, boom, come home, that's it. I mean, basically, all the fun stuff that would be in a NHL road trip is no longer available per the rules. Now, I mean, are there going to be guys who break them? We're going to find that out, you know, and as we found out in baseball, with the Indians especially, there were certain teams that didn't take too kindly to, guys flouting the rules. So it's going to be very interesting because I do know that, you know, the bubble situation in Edmonton and Toronto this past summer, it worked so well. They didn't have a single case. But I have talked to numerous players now, almost to a man. They said it was just too much. Like, it was way too restrictive, and you know, by the end of it, the guys who were there longer were really tired of it and missing their families and stuff. This way, it's not the same, but it is pretty stringent. Like, you know, when you bring that up, I mean, that's kind of crazy. Not crazy, but I mean, it is pretty stringent and strict to say you can't go to a restaurant on the road, or you can't go out to eat, or whatever it is, other than your hotel room. And I thought that was one that stood out. And the coach's masks on the bench, I think it's understandable now that we're seeing these other sports have to do it, but it's going to be interesting because, you know, this is a sport that requires a lot of, you know, quick thinking and you know, raising your voice and things like that. Although there probably won't be fans in the stands to start out. It's going to be interesting. That'll be one thing I'm paying attention to see, you know, which coaches are struggling to wear the mask. Is it going to be like the NFL, you know, where coaches are getting fined for wearing them improperly and things like that? I am the mask police, in case anyone is wondering. I have no problem telling people when they're wearing it wrong. So it'll be interesting to kind of, you know, spot that and see what's happening there.
Thanks for joining us today, Brian. Wishing you and yours a happy holiday season. Thanks.
Absolutely. You guys, too. Take care.
That's Brian Hedger. He's the Blue Jackets beat reporter for the Dispatch. He joins courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Three things and a first Friday recommendation from me, and it's not going to be fancy at all. Bishop and Laurinaitis on the Fan.